Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Fangirl Podcast. My name is Liz. I started the podcast here as a pandemic quarantine project, and really excited you guys are here today. We're going to talk about Kesha today, and I love Kesha very much. She's one of my all-time favorite female artists. I'm probably going to say that about every artist on this podcast, but I love her so much for so many reasons. And I want to start this podcast as a way to talk about things that I love talking about, which are mostly female singer-songwriters and female artists and bands. So I think it's going to be a really fun podcast. I've already had a lot of fun recording and researching these artists and learning a lot more about them. So we're going to do a deep dive into the life and times of Kesha today and all the great things that she's produced so far in her life. So Kesha obviously makes a lot of really great music. I've decided not to play much of her music on this show because technically it's kind of illegal, but I did make a really great playlist on Spotify. So you can follow me on Spotify. I am at Lizzie B, LizzyB, and you can find a playlist there. It's called the Fangirl Kesha Playlist. And the cool thing about this playlist is I've got a lot of her hits in the playlist, got a lot of deep cuts on the playlist, so a lot of old stuff that you might not recognize from her old albums. And I also put a lot of songs on the playlist that, you know, a lot of other artists that have either inspired Kesha or are in the kind of the same genre as Kesha. So got some Dolly Parton on the playlist because Dolly Parton was a huge influence in Kesha's life. I've got some Queen on the playlist because Queen was also a band that really influenced Kesha. So it's pretty fun. I'm pretty excited about it. And you guys can find it on Spotify. Again, my username is at Lizzie B, and you can find it there. So today we're getting to Kesha. So Kesha Rose Siebert was born on March 1st, 1987 in LA. She's a Pisces. And her mom, PB Siebert, was a singer-songwriter. She's a really interesting woman. She sang on tour in Europe when she was in high school. And then when PB came back to the U.S., she worked as a songwriter and penned a song for Dolly Parton, one of Dolly's biggest hits called Old Flames Can't Hold a Candle to You. So her mom was a songwriter, worked with Dolly Parton and lots of other artists in Nashville and LA. And when she wrote the Dolly Parton song, that was really her kind of moment. She, you know, made more money at that point and was meeting more people at that point. And the song was really big for Dolly Parton. It's one of her best known songs. And the song was also covered by many artists, including Kesha herself. So we're going to get more into that later on. But Kesha's mom is a pretty interesting character here. Kesha's mom was a single mom her entire life. Kesha does not know the identity of her dad. And that, I think, has always kind of bothered her throughout her life. You know, her mom was a single mom. She wanted to have kids and she wanted to have a Pisces. So Kesha was born, you know, in March during Pisces season. And Kesha has never known the identity of her dad. So on her most recent album, there's actually a song called Father-Daughter Dance, which details the pain of her not knowing who her dad was throughout her childhood. So definitely take a look at that. It's a pretty interesting song, a little bit sad, but I think Kesha's obviously really tight with her mom and her brothers too. So I think that she had a pretty tight-knit family throughout her entire life. And if you dive deep enough into the internet, you will find that there are some internet conspiracy theories that say Kesha has said that she thinks her dad might be Mick Jagger. So if you've got some time on your hands, highly recommend it. Go online, Google Kesha Mick Jagger dad. You might find some weird stuff on there, but internet conspiracy theories have confirmed that Kesha has a theory that Mick Jagger may be her dad. So do with that what you will. But Kesha's family is pretty unique. She has an older brother named Lagan, and she has a younger brother named Louis Sage. And as a kid, Kesha's mom brought her into the studio while she was working on writing songs and encouraged Kesha to sing. So this was really how Kesha kind of, you know, became more immersed in the songwriting world. She started singing in studios. I can only imagine the people she was exposed to as a kid. So I'm sure that like all of these things in her early childhood really helped her later on in life. So During her childhood, they were pretty poor. The family moved to Nashville, Tennessee, after her mom secured a publishing deal in the Music City. So she was born in LA, moved to Nashville at an early age. While she was in high school, she would actually write songs with her mom after school. So she got a lot of practice early in the game and started writing songs with her mom after school. And this was in Nashville, Tennessee. So again, I can only imagine all the amazing music she was surrounded by and all the great artists she was surrounded by. So I'm sure that really played a role in her upbringing here. Fun fact, while she was in 2005, actually, her family was featured on The Simple Life, which was that show with Nicole Richie and Paris Hilton from way back in the day. And her mom somehow found, you know, like a casting for a family to host Nicole and Richie while they were, not Nicole and Richie, Nicole and Paris while they were visiting Nashville, Tennessee. Her mom responded to this ad, and Paris and Nicole actually came and stayed with Kesha and her family. And on that show, Nicole and Paris had a task to be wedding planners in Tennessee. So again, if you've got some time, go on the internet, Google Kesha, Nicole, Paris, Simple Life episode, and you can see like teenage Kesha hanging out with Nicole and Paris Hilton doing all these weird tasks for a wedding in Tennessee. So there's that. But in high school, Kesha was really smart. She got a near perfect score on her SATs. She was admitted to Barnard College in New York. She was a pretty, you know, smart kid. While she was in school, she was actually starting to send out demo tapes to different producers in Nashville and LA. And she actually dropped out of high school a few months before graduation to move to LA and start her music career. So she was pretty driven right from the get-go. Her mom was, of course, in the songwriting industry, so I'm sure she knew some people in the industry, and then she could do some networking and make some connections there. Her mom gave out Kesha's demo tapes to people that she knew in the music industry. She found a producer named David Gamson who helped her produce a few early tracks, and then she headed out to LA. She was living in her car in her gold Trans Am and trying to make it big in LA, just living the dream, obviously. So, so Kesha was working on some early tracks. She was sending out demos to different producers in LA and Nashville. And Max Martin, maybe you've heard of him, a very famous producer in Hollywood, he actually received one of her demos from a director at Broadcast Music International, and he thought it was unique. So Max Martin actually reached out to Kesha, convinced her to drop out of high school and to move out to LA. So this is a big deal. Max Martin's one of the biggest pop producers in the game right now. He wrote slash co-wrote Baby One More Time, Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way, NSYNC's It's Gonna Be Me, Taylor Swift's Shake It Off, and Blank Space, Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl. He's been behind some of the biggest hits in pop music in the past two decades. Like, he's huge. So pretty amazing that Kesha kind of hit the jackpot with this. She had her demo, somehow reached Max Martin. He heard it. He thought it was worth pursuing. Reached out to her, convinced her to move out to LA, and then all of a sudden she's working with Max Martin in the studio in LA. That's what every artist dreams of. The fact that she landed on that right out the gate is pretty incredible. Just to give you some perspective on who Max Martin is, according to Billboard, he is the songwriter with the most number one singles on the charts, behind only Paul McCartney and John Lennon. So it was a big fucking deal when Kesha started working with him. In 2005, she was signed to Kemo Sabe Records, and then Kesha started writing songs for Britney Spears and Katy Perry. Kesha actually helped write When the World Ends for Britney, which is one of my favorite songs, and rumor has it that she actually came up with the lyric, This is an Epic Fail, from Katy Perry's song TGIF. So that's pretty cool. Kesha has definitely worked with a lot of the greats in Hollywood. She's, I think, kind of established herself as a songwriter first, and then became a pop singer. She's also written for Ariana Grande, Miley Cyrus, Miranda Cosgrove, Katy Perry. She was actually friends with Katy Perry for a while as well, and Kesha appeared in Katy Perry's video for I Kissed a Girl, which, to be honest, is a very sexy video. There's lots of fishnets and corsets. This is like early Katy Perry with the fair skin and the dark hair. Kesha's actually one of the girls on Katy's right-hand side, literally, when she's in the video. So again, go back, check it out. It's a great video. Kesha's in it. Katy Perry's in it. Love it. So back to the studio. So in 2005, Kesha gets signed to Kimo Sabe Records. And then in 2009, she is in the studio. She happens to walk into a room where Flo Rida is recording the song Right Round. And he asks her to sing the hook on the song. So this is another kind of massive stroke of luck that Kesha had. She was in the studios. She walks into a room. Flo Rida's there. He's like, hey, I want to have a female sing a hook on this on the song. And she was like, okay, I can do that. Hops into the booth, records this song, records the chorus. And then the song Right Round just blows up. It's like the song of like, you know, summer 2009. It's huge. So that was a pretty big deal for her. And oddly enough, she's not credited on that track. And she actually refused to be in the music video for the song. And she said she did this because she wanted to, you know, create her career by herself. She wanted to make it on her own. She didn't want to just kind of piggyback onto this huge song that Flo Rida created just to be credited as, you know, a songwriter. She wanted to really have ownership of her career. So I think that's amazing. She just went out for it. I mean, she could have easily piggybacked onto the song. It was a huge hit. I mean, everybody knows Flo Rida. Love him to pieces. So she could have just jumped on the song, but she decided not to, which I think really says a lot about her. It says a lot about her drive, her ambition, her self-worth and knowing who she is and what she wanted. So I think that was just a huge, just speaks volumes about her. So the song Right Round is actually on Flo Rida's 2009 album called Roots. And she's not credited on that song, but she's on another song on that album called Touch Me, which you guys should go and check it out. It's a pretty interesting song. And the song Right Round itself, fun fact here, it's a spinoff from the 1985 song You Spin Me Right Round by the British band Dead or Alive. So when I first heard the song, or when I first heard the Flo Rida version of this song, it immediately took me back to The Wedding Singer, the Adam Sandler movie, because that's the song they have in the opening credits. And it's such a great song. It's such an 80s banger. Love that song so much. And then Flo Rida took it, riffed on it, made it his own, and catches on that track. So a lot of fun facts for you guys. I hope you crush trivia after listening to this podcast. So after Right Round, she started working on her own album. And I want to talk about her style of singing a little bit because she's a really unique singer. She's a rapper as well. I think most people, when she first came on the scene, they started to recognize her for her rap skills, not just her singing skills. Because in TikTok, she's almost completely rapping in that entire song. So her singing skill is really unique because she's not a classically trained singer. You know, when she performs live, she's not a very traditional singer. She's not an Adele. She's not a Beyonce. You know, she doesn't always hit notes perfectly. But I think her magic sauce is that she's such a raw vocalist. You know, she's capable of belting out these awkward notes. Like when she sings a song Praying, there's that really high, kind of awkward note at the end of it, which I don't love. But she can do it and she can manage it. And, you know, she doesn't, like I said, doesn't hit the notes perfectly. But I think because she can belt things out, she's not afraid to take chances. She's got that going for her, you know. She can also rap, you know. She can add a lot of sass and a lot of attitude and swag to her singing style. She swears a lot when she sings and writes. But I think the cool thing about Kesha is she can easily go from a rap or hip hop style song like TikTok or We Are Who We Are or Crazy Kids. She's singing and rapping on all of those songs, sometimes in the same breath, to, you know, she can switch the next song and perform a country song, such as the song Hunt You Down or Resentment. Resentment is a song she just released off her most recent album with Sturgill Simpson, who is a really acclaimed country music artist. He's amazing. I love him so much. And that song, Resentment, I think really speaks to her Nashville upbringing. So she can do hip hop. She can do, you know, rap. She can do a country song. Then she can also switch and go to a more of a rock and roll style song, such as Let 'Em Talk from the Rainbow album. So super diverse here, a lot of different skills and talents, and she's, I think, always keeping it really fresh. So that's, you know, just so many things here that I love about Kesha. You know, I think if you're comparing Kesha to other female singers, you know, if Adele is your traditional singer, Kesha has just come to fuck everything up. She's come to make her mark on something totally new. She's really different. She can sing, she can rap, she can do country, hip hop, you know, rock, pop, all of these things. So again, just a really different artist. And that's why I wanted to do her for the first podcast here. I think she really represents lots of different genres here. And I think she excels in each genre that she does. So I'm a big fan. And her inspirations that she draws on a lot are rock and roll, pop music, dance music, of course, country music. You know, she's born in Nashville, so she's got that Nashville country upbringing. You know, her mom was a country music writer for a long time. So she definitely, I think, brings a lot of that into her music. A lot of the artists that she loves, or artists that she was inspired by, are Dolly Parton, Madonna, Queen, the Rolling Stones. Maybe hence the Mick Jagger is her dad conspiracy theory. I'm not really sure, but she loves the Rolling Stones. She's been influenced by The Killers, by Michael and Janet Jackson. She's also been influenced by artists like Iggy Pop and the Beastie Boys. I was surprised to find out about this. I did not realize the Beastie Boys were such a big influence on Kesha, but the Beastie Boys directly inspired the rapping she does on the song TikTok. So that's huge. Beastie Boys, if you guys aren't familiar, one of the, you know, most popular hip hop groups of the early 90s, late 80s. There are three guys from New York. They were like the first white rappers pre-Eminem, and they were huge in the 90s. They had a massive influence. Even today, I see a lot of artists that are kind of in the same vein as the Beastie Boys here. And I was kind of surprised to hear that Kesha was so inspired by them, but it makes sense. You know, Beastie Boys were all about like partying, dancing, fight for your right to party. A lot of really similar themes that Kesha sings and raps about as well. So I'm surprised to hear about that. But then once I learned about it, dug into this theory a bit more, I realized that TikTok is, yeah, you can definitely relate that back to the Beastie Boys. So that was pretty cool. I actually put some Beastie Boys songs on the Kesha Spotify playlist. So go check that out. So Kesha starts making music, and in 2010, she drops TikTok, her first big single, and it just blows up. TikTok was so popular, it broke the record in the United States for the highest sales week for a single ever, with 610,000 digital downloads sold in a single week, the highest ever by a female artist since digital download tracking began in 2003. So this is huge. I mean, you guys all know the song. I don't have to explain it here. Really big song. Her first one right out the gate just blows up. As of 2019, the song TikTok has sold about 14 million copies worldwide. It's become the best-selling single in digital history and also the best-selling digital single in history by a female solo artist. So, I mean, just like, damn, this is her first single. She hit out the ballpark. That's huge. Not many artists can say that their song was, you know, that their first song ever was the best-selling single in digital history. That's pretty awesome. So some fun facts about this song. A lot of questions about this. Was that really P. Diddy on the start of the track? Like, why would he be on it? He's a huge artist. This is her first song. She's an unknown artist. But yes, apparently, when Kesha was in the studio, she was writing the song with Dr. Luke and with Benny Blanco. And Dr. Luke, we're going to talk more about him later, but he's another really big producer in Hollywood. So he's worked with tons of artists, a lot of pop artists. And Dr. Luke apparently had been talking with Diddy about collaborating on a track together. So Dr. Luke called him. Diddy came into the studio, recorded two lines. That was it. He actually doesn't get any credits on the song, maybe because he actually announces his own name on the song. But he's not credited on the song. There's no Kesha featuring P. Diddy. It's just Diddy laying down two tracks, in and out, boom, first single. Pretty impressive. So the song itself was written and produced by Kesha, Dr. Luke, and Benny Blanco. Benny Blanco is another super successful songwriter and producer. Benny Blanco is, when they were working on the song together in 2010, Benny was kind of an apprentice to Dr. Luke. He had just graduated from, I think it was from high school in Virginia, flew out to LA, started working with Dr. Luke, and Benny Blanco is kind of Dr. Luke's protege. So if you read the credits and lots of other pop songs, you'll see Benny Blanco on a lot of those credits. He's also started writing and releasing his own work too. So he's actually, you know, a DJ, a producer, a performer now. So I'm sure you'll hear a lot more about him in the future as well. He's blowing up too. So the song TikTok is actually humble beginnings for Kesha. You know, she got the idea for a song when she was living in LA. She was living in a house with like 10 other people in the Hollywood Hills. I think at one point Fleetwood Mac had stayed there like years prior and had written a few songs there. So she's living in this magical house in LA. After a night of partying, she wakes up and she imagined that, well, she wakes up and she's surrounded by people half drunk all over the place in her house, in her party house. And she imagines how this might be how P. Diddy feels after he wakes up after a big party. Hence the opening track, Wake Up in the Morning Feeling Like P. Diddy. I mean, just pure magic here, folks. Just absolutely incredible. So the song itself was written and produced by Kesha, Dr. Luke, and Benny Blanco. The song blew up, and in April of 2010, Kesha performed on Saturday Night Live and was not great. It's actually gone down on YouTube as one of the worst SNL performances ever, which is kind of sad because Kesha was a new artist. The song had just come out a few weeks earlier. She performed in April of 2010 on SNL. She performed TikTok and she performed Your Love Is My Drug. So I researched up and down YouTube for these videos. There's not many videos that exist of Kesha performing in 2010 on SNL because it was really not a great performance. In the TikTok performance, she kind of does this like spoken word thing at the start, and then she waits a little bit and then she starts singing TikTok. It's like a very toned down kind of intro to her mega hit TikTok. It's very weird, very different, not really what you'd expect from her, but it's not great. I mean, her voice doesn't sound great. She seems kind of nervous. She was probably at this point only maybe 21, so she was pretty young too. So was not a great performance. She also performed the song Your Love Is My Drug on SNL that same night. And the performance is really weird. I actually found a YouTube video of this. It starts out, all the lights are off, and she's in this like really cool neon body glow paint. And she is kind of on the ground singing. The lights come on and she's still singing. The audience, you can tell, is not really feeling it. But at the end of the performance, Kesha ends the song by saying, "Hey, it's Saturday night. Do you want to make out?" So that, I mean, just really, really nailed it for me. Just brought it home, Kesha. Just bring it home. So if you can, go find it on YouTube. It's pretty interesting. But yeah, not her best performance on SNL. Kind of a shame. That was right as she was coming out with her new songs. After TikTok was her first single, Your Love Is My Drug was her second single. And after that, her singles were the songs Take It Off, the song Blah Blah Blah, and Your Love Is My Drug, of course. So I want to get into these videos a little bit too. So Kesha's videos are pretty unique, and I want to really dig into them here. So the video for Your Love Is My Drug, one of my favorite songs by her, it's actually shot in Palm Springs, California, right outside Joshua Tree National Park. So it's a really beautiful setting. Kesha kind of wakes up, and she's sleeping next to this like very bohemian, indie kind of looking guy. And in the video, she rides an elephant, which is kind of weird. I don't advocate that at all. She's in the desert. She's riding this elephant. Again, I don't advocate that. But she's wearing this outfit that is like very Coachella, indie, boho chic. I'm just going to say it out loud. I'm going to give Kesha credit for inventing the entire Coachella outfit thing, because what she's wearing is like boots, cutoff shorts, indie, boho, jewelry, top, feathers in her hair. I mean, she really nailed it. This was like 2011, maybe. This is like pre-Coachella being like a big thing. And I'm just going to give her credit because I'm going to say it right now, she invented the whole Coachella outfit get up. So good for you, Kesha. So in the video, she's in Joshua Tree. She's doing that during the day. She's hanging out with this guy. And then at nighttime, the video transitions to nighttime. And she's wearing this like reflective body paint. They use this, you know, she's dancing with this reflective body paint. At one point, she's holding a massive snake and she's dancing with the reflective body paint. It looks really cool. So that's happening. They use this like kaleidoscope effect on the video, and the video turns into this like cartoon animation. It's very cool. You know, I was watching this feeling like I was on an acid trip in the desert. I think maybe that's what she was trying to emulate there in the video, in which case, nailed it. So that's a great video for you to check out. The other videos that I like of hers are the We Are Who We Are video. And this is a really unique one because she's got this amazing glittery makeup. This is like, you know, very early Kesha, 2011, 2012 Kesha. And she's got this like really cool metallic bodysuit, glitter all over her eyes, glitter all over her inner hair, you know, metallic eyebrows, like the whole nine yards here. Looks amazing. The video is set in a tunnel, and there's a lot of people in the tunnel. There's cop cars in the tunnel. It's basically a big tunnel dance party. And at one point, they turn to the two DJs here at this tunnel dance party. The DJs have a laptop, two turntables, and, you know, like DJs typically have a laptop and two turntables. That's not out of the ordinary here. But at one point, the video scrolls or goes to the laptop that the DJs are looking at. And on the laptop, they're looking at the website Plenty of Fish. So can somebody tell me why that is? I have no idea. They're like looking at this website. If I'm not mistaken, Plenty of Fish is a online dating website for Jewish people, I think. So maybe Kesha's Jewish. I don't think she's Jewish. I did a lot of research. I don't think she's Jewish. But anyway, that is the website that these two DJs are looking at as they're DJing a tunnel party that Kesha is the star of. So, I mean, it's a great video. I definitely recommend watching it right now. A little weird that they're watching Plenty of Fish, and they go back to that. They go back to that computer screen like twice. There's one scene where they're actually scrolling down the profiles of Plenty of Fish. So I don't really get that, but it's there. You know, it's there. So that's a great video. Pure Kesha in her element. Another video, I think it's probably my favorite video of hers. It's the Take It Off video. So I don't love this song, but the video, I think, has made me like the song a bit more. So let me paint you a scene here. They're in, I think, Vegas, somewhere in the desert at this old dirty motel. And Kesha and all of her friends are knocking on all the hotel doors. They're like partying in like the parking lot. They jump into the pool, which is actually an empty pool, empty concrete pool. There's no water in it. And towards the end of the song, they start throwing like colorful dust and glitter. And it basically looks like you're at Burning Man or maybe like a holy festival if it were at Burning Man. It's very colorful. It's amazing. It's pretty cool. Kesha's hair looks great in this video. I think it's my favorite video. Unfortunately, it's not my favorite song. So I don't know how to reconcile that. I'm going to work on it. But Take It Off is a great music video. It's basically Burning Man. And we also got to talk about TikTok. I mean, I would be remiss if I did not even bring up this video. So this video has 540 million views on YouTube. This video was the first music video she ever made, obviously. And to me, it is so 2009. Like in the video, she wakes up in a bathtub in this nice family's home in LA. She's literally in this like massive bathtub. She throws on her cowboy boots. Shout out her Nashville upbringing. She stumbles downstairs to completely alarm this family who apparently had no idea that there was like a, you know, a drunk chick sleeping upstairs in their bathroom. I don't know how they missed that one, but she walks downstairs. You know, mom is so alarmed to see her that she drops her plate of pancakes, and Kesha's like, okay, thanks, see you later. Walks outside, hops on this really cool bike, and then she rides into downtown LA. So, I mean, if that's not making an entrance, I don't know what is. But the video then proceeds to see her downtown LA. She's sitting outside a corner shop. She's listening to her boombox. Again, so 2009. And this guy drives up. He's driving this gold car, which is actually Kesha's own car in the video. And this guy starts flirting with her and she gets in the car and then they like cruise around downtown LA and they have a blast. So the guy in this video is actually the actor Simon Rex, who, I don't know if you guys know this, he is like a really good looking actor. He's a model. He's like a comedian. He's an actor. He's very attractive, but he is most well known for being in the Scary Movie franchise. So I'm just going to call that a missed opportunity here for this guy. He's so hot, but he's like kind of a dum-dum. His name's Simon Rex. I'm sure you guys have seen him in some shows. He was in the show The Cut with Meghan Markle, or Clues with Meghan Markle. A show starts with a C. But he starred with Meghan Markle in a show in the early 2000s. And apparently he was accosted by the British media to say that he had dated Meghan Markle in the past and provide them with like a juicy interview all about Meghan Markle. He didn't take the bait. You know, he's a dum-dum, but at least he's an honest dum-dum, and he did not take the bait. So he did not spill any dirt on Meghan Markle. Apparently he had just met her like once or twice, and that was really it. So this guy, Simon Rex, his claim to fame clearly is being in a TikTok video with Kesha and hanging out with Meghan Markle like one time. So he's just killing it. So back to the Kesha videos. She's put a lot of interesting people in her videos, like in the video for Blow. That video features James Vanderbeek, and they have this really weird kind of exchange in the video. I'm going to try to play the audio for you guys. But basically, she walks up and says, "Hey there, James Vanderdouche. Let's see if we can play it."
Well. If it isn't James Vanderdouche.
I don't appreciate you slander-beaking my name, Cad Dollar Sign.
Thank you for the snack. It was quite delicious.
My pleasure.
Was that Munster cheese tickling my taste buds?
Of course. Munster is like edible lactose gold.
Agreed. Shall we dance?
Let's. We're taking...
I love that so much. James Vanderdouche, like, who comes up with that? It's just genius. I love it. Was that Munster tickling my taste buds? Kesha, of course it was. James Vanderbeek is a lovely human being. Why wouldn't he give you Munster? So anyway, that was a weird little part of their video, but James Vanderbeek is fantastic, and I never really got into Dawson's Creek, but now I kind of wish I did because he is so handsome and I just enjoy his presence. So I might have to go back and watch a lot of Dawson's Creek now. But anyway, Kesha's put a lot of interesting people in her videos. The Die Young video, this is kind of a weird video. I didn't love it. It's a little different from what she's used to. It's a very sexy video. You know, it takes place in some old Spanish mission in the desert. That's a really cool, beautiful, old Spanish-style mission building. But in the video, there's lots of body rubbing, groping. It's a very much like in the vein of I'm a slave for you when like dancers are like all over Kesha or Britney and like touching, feeling, kind of making out. It's like very kind of a departure for Kesha. It's a lot more serious here. I think she even looks a little bit like Britney in this video. She's got platinum blonde hair, very sexy video. Not my favorite video by Kesha, but, you know, it's out there on YouTube, so go check it out. But, yeah, so Kesha has, you know, come out with a lot of different records so far. TikTok was on the record Animal, which was her first studio release. Followed by her later albums named Cannibal, Warrior, Rainbow, and High Road. So High Road came out this past year. I really like that album. It's a lot more country-inspired, a little more folksy, rocky. I love that last album. So Animal was her first album that she ever came out with back in 2010. Kesha also calls her fans animals. So that's kind of her nickname for all of her fans that she's really tight with on social media. And some of her other songs that I've really loved that haven't been on her albums, but I think should be. In 2013, she released the greatest song ever called Timber, which in my honest opinion is just the best song ever. It just slaps. Pitbull's on it. Kesha's on it. I mean, what more could you want? I have a huge crush on Pitbull. Like, it's kind of scary, but he's amazing. And Timber, I mean, we all know that song. We all love it. Have you ever been at a wedding and that song has come on and you have not danced? If so, you should check yourself, because I'm offended if you haven't done that. But Timber's great. So that came out in 2013, and that was really like peak Kesha time. In 2014, unfortunately, things started to go downhill. In 2014, she checked into rehab for bulimia, and later that year, she sued Dr. Luke. So this is the start of Kesha's long legal battles with Dr. Luke. She sued him for sexual assault and battery, sexual harassment, gender violence, and emotional abuse. Really awful. She had been working with Dr. Luke now for, you know, a couple years, and she obviously had a lot of big hits with Dr. Luke, but unfortunately, he turned out to be kind of a huge piece of shit. So the lawsuit went on for about a year. This started in 2014. She was, you know, the crux of the lawsuit was she was trying to get out of her contract and be released from Kemosabe Records so she wouldn't have to work with Dr. Luke again. So as per her contract, she was still committed to working with him in the studio, making more music with him. She was just trying to get out of her contract. This lawsuit went on for, you know, quite a long time. In February of 2016, so about 2 years after the original suit was filed, the judge ruled against her request to be released from the record company. And this was a really public lawsuit. There were cameras all over the courtroom. When they announced that verdict, there's footage of Kesha just sitting in the courtroom sobbing. And that footage was all over the internet. You know, a lot of other celebrities chipped in and started, you know, donating to Kesha's legal fund. Taylor Swift actually donated $250,000 to her legal defense fund. I think Adele chipped in as well. A lot of other female artists online started voicing their support for Kesha. And there, you know, a lot of people came out of the woodwork and started talking about how Dr. Luke had done this to them as well. It was a Me Too movement. It was really just awful. And, you know, this case went on for more than 2 years. So Kesha had to just replay this, you know, in front of a jury for a long time. It must have just been heartbreaking for her. So in February 2016, the judge ruled against her request. In April of 2016, 2 months later, the case was actually dismissed because the judge said the statute of limitations had run out on the allegations of rape back in 2005 and 2008. So what a whirlwind here. I mean, she was in this lawsuit for 2 years, and then the case was thrown out. So kind of crazy how this all went down. She was able to be released from the record company. She no longer works with Dr. Luke. And later in 2016, she actually went back on tour. So she had been through a lot in those couple years. She hadn't really made much music since 2014, 2013. So she released Timber. It's huge. And then, you know, she kind of goes quiet. She goes to rehab. She goes to this lawsuit. It was a really difficult couple years for Kesha. So the next year, in July of 2017, she releases the song Praying, which is a song detailing her feelings towards he who shall not be named, Dr. Luke. And the song actually is about her trying to get through this really difficult time in her life. You know, the chorus of the song is, I hope you find your peace, falling on your knees, praying. You know, she's kind of extending like some grace and gratitude to this person who has hurt her so much in the past, which I think, again, really speaks volumes about her. You know, she went through all of this pain and heartbreak. You know, the chorus is, you brought the flames and you put me through hell. I had to learn how to fight for myself. She's really, I think, patting herself on the back for being strong here and getting through this terrible, terrible time. And she's also extending some grace to this person who doesn't deserve the sympathy, honestly. So she wishes Dr. Luke to find peace and find reconciliation, but she's going to be strong. She's going to be fine. She can do this on her own. So the song, when I first heard it, had straight up goosebumps. this song really details her, you know, her experience with the trauma and the stress of this lawsuit and the trauma and the stress of enduring sexual assaults. It's a really powerful song. The song actually earned her her first Grammy nomination, which was huge. And at the Grammys that year, Kesha and about 20 other women stood on stage all dressed in white and sang the song together, which was a really beautiful moment. Go look it up on YouTube. It's just a really nice moment of all these women coming together, denouncing the actions of Dr. Luke and standing together in solidarity. So that just warms my heart. It was just, I feel so bad Kesha had to go through all of this. For anyone who has to deal with this, it just must be just, I can't even imagine. Like, she was expected to sit in the same room as her rapist and work together on new music. I mean, I couldn't imagine being in that situation. And unfortunately, so many women often are. So thank you, Kesha, for writing this song and for just putting your head down and keeping it going and getting through this. You know, she came out with some incredible music on the other side. And, you know, she earned this Grammy nomination in 2018. She toured on her own, and she also did a tour with Macklemore, the rapper. So she was getting out there again. She was trying to get back on the road and trying to promote her new music. In February of 2020, she released her latest album, High Road. And also this year, she started a new line of makeup called Kesha Rose Beauty. So Kesha went through a lot of really awful stuff, but she's come out stronger. And she's come out as an advocate for women across the world. She has been, you know, a big voice in the Me Too movement. I think she's, you know, unfortunately had to go through such a terrible, terrible experience, but she's really come out stronger, and I have all the more respect for her for dealing with all of this terrible, terrible stuff. So Kesha has been nominated for 89 awards. She's been nominated for 7 Billboard Music Awards, 2 Grammy Awards, 3 American Music Awards, 5 MTV Video Music Awards, and 3 MTV Europe Music Awards. And she has won the award for MTV Music Europe Best New Act in 2010. She's also won an iHeartRadio Award for her collaboration with Pitbull on the amazing song Timber. And Kesha's also been really active with a lot of different social organizations. She's a huge advocate for animal welfare, and she's been awarded a few awards from PETA. She's also a huge advocate for the LGBT community, and she's been a, you know, very vocal supporter of, you know, gay rights in the U.S. I mean, how could she not be? Most of her songs are pretty much designed for a pride party, so I can definitely see how she would be supported and welcomed by the LGBT community. So Kesha, thanks for all of your amazing music. Thanks for all of your amazing work and all of the incredible organizations you support. We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll be talking more about our personal experiences with Kesha's music, how we reacted when we first heard the songs, and what our favorite lyrics are, and some fun different stories about Kesha's songs as well. So we'll take a break, and we'll see you soon.